This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's based in London, the capital city, central government of the United Kingdom. And right now, Europe, all Europe is anticipating conflict going on for some time with Russia in Ukraine. Supporting, yes, the UK is eager to support Ukraine, but at the same time, the costs are dear, dear to European economy, to European prosperity, to the weakest and least among them. So I come to a headline in the Telegraph. National Grid warns of three-year energy crisis as emergency effort launched to cut factory power use. Subhead, plans drawn up to pay industrial companies to shut down for the next three winters. Joe, I don't have to fill in the blanks here. Organizing in a fashion to shut down private enterprise strikes me as 1941, not 2023. Is this on television? Is this in the news? Is this being accepted to force, to oblige private enterprise to shut their doors?
Well, I mean, I think the problem is that it is going to happen whether people want it to or not, because if the energy just isn't there, then you can't operate the factory. So there is a very hard physical constraint on a lot of these things, you know, whatever the shape the policy debate takes leading up to it. And you know, it's important, I think, for Americans to understand what is causing this crisis here. I mean, the reason that European countries, including the United Kingdom, are struggling to keep the lights on right now is because they are so much further down the road of net zero carbon emissions and an over-reliance on renewable energy sources and under-investment in reliable energy sources, whether that's nuclear or natural gas, that it is just wreaking havoc on the stability of their electric grids and making it difficult for them to keep the lights on. And I think that that is the big story. And if it is going to take 3 years for Britain to be able to get back to delivering electricity in a reliable way, it is because they have larded up their generation capacity with so many of these renewable sources that just don't generate reliably. And there is an acute shortage of cheap, reliable baseload power because people are only belatedly realizing that you actually need to do that if you're going to have so much wind and solar.
Life in London, Joe, do you see a distinction being made? I know we came through 2 years of the pandemic. However, is there a reason to witness now shops closing, storefronts darkening their lights at night? Do you see any attempt to save power?
Well, I think that we're definitely in an earlier stage right now, especially because although households got hit with a price increase in April, the next time the regulatory cap goes up won't be until October, which is when the next round of price increases is going to hit. And bear in mind also that this latitude, we've had very hot weather, and most people don't run air conditioning at home, so you haven't really had that degree of power demand, and also very long days, so you don't necessarily need artificial lighting to the same extent. But both of those things are going to start changing over the next couple months, and I think that there is an increasing sense that people will need to find ways to economize. I mean, you might notice that offices are a bit warmer than usual. They aren't running the air conditioning quite as cold as historically they have to try to manage energy costs. You know, people are going to be encouraged to turn down their thermostats once we get into the central heating season. So I think that it is going to definitely make a very noticeable impact on a lot of aspects of people's daily lives.
Are either of the candidate for the premiership talking about additional resources? There is natural gas in the North Sea. There are possibilities of nuclear energy. Is that part of the debate, or is it something for the future?
You're starting to see some of that because the government under Boris Johnson had already become very enthusiastic about nuclear, although they are many years late on that given the long lead times for these projects. So I think you would expect that commitment to nuclear to continue. I think there is a belated understanding that they actually need to encourage more gas production in the North Sea, although I don't think they necessarily have the right mix of tax and regulatory policies for that yet. The big question is going to be shale gas. gas fracking, because there is shale gas in the north of England. Successive conservative governments have tried and failed to build support around tapping that resource. And we will know that Britain has finally gotten serious about dealing with its energy crisis once the fracking starts, because that will signal that they are intent finally on achieving energy security by tapping this abundant domestic supply that is right under their feet.
Checking on the weather. Climate is not weather. Weather is not climate, but it's a substitute. We have a drought across Europe from the Po River Valley to the Loire, Danube and Rhine, although the Rhine is now said to be permitting traffic to flow, which is a positive for what Germany faces. I can see the east side of England very much looking drought-racked, and the hosepipe ban proceeds. Do you see in London the drought hanging on, or is your weather moderated these last days?
Now, you can definitely see a lot of evidence of it. We had rain for a couple of days last week. It was not nearly enough. So when I was out for my morning jog just this morning, I mean, some of the grass in the park is getting a little greener than it had been before, but still much more brown than you would expect to see at this time of year. And I don't think that there is any prospect, just looking at the weather reports for the next few weeks, that there's going to be enough rain to make up for the shortfall that we've already had. So I think that we'll end up in the situation where we will still have a drought for a while, even if and when the rain starts as usual.
The headline that is illustrative of this odd moment in European history, Europe's drought may be continent's worst in at least 500 years. My math is fuzzy, Joe, but I think that puts us in the zone of the New World is India, when Columbus sailed the sea. So not since Columbus have we seen a drought at this scale in Europe. At the same time, the war in Ukraine continues dire. Joseph Sternberg, editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, writing political economics in harried London. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.